the Golf Podcast, presented by Golficity, where we bring you the tips, instruction, and support you need to get the most out of your golf game. And now your hosts, Frank and Mike.
All right, guys. So today on the podcast, we're going to talk about a topic that's really top of my mind right now. We're going to talk about how to feel the weight of the club head. This has been a revelation for me this summer. I've been really working on it from both an equipment and a practicing standpoint. So hopefully there's going to be some things that we digest here that can help you guys as well and something you can learn from as well. So Mike, I'm really excited about that. But the other thing I want to talk about that I'm super excited for is the Golficity Virtual Open. So if you haven't gotten registered yet, it's 100% free. A lot of you guys were able to participate in the Open last year. We had about 300 participants. And then we got a lot of great feedback. A lot of people asking us earlier this summer when we're bringing it back. So we're going to host it for the same dates as we did last year. It's going to run July 15th through August 15th. So as of exactly when this episode drops, it is going to be live and ready to go. But no matter when, all the way up until August 15th, you can register, hop in, and post your round. So like I said, it's 100% free. We're going to run it all in the 18 Birdies app. Just very briefly how this works. Being a virtual tournament, this has kind of helped solve a problem we've always had where a lot of our community have wanted to get together and play a tournament. And since we have people who are listening all over the country and all over the world, you know, logistically, that was always a tough thing.
Yeah, it's not going to work.
Exactly. So that's why this virtual tournament is so great. In the 18 Birdies app, there's got to be 13,000 courses. You can join the tournament. You can play your round at any course in the app. You log your score. We're going to be playing with handicaps as well so that everybody can level the playing field and play. And we're going to have both gross and net leaderboards. So this is going to be really exciting. It's a great way, like I said, to bring everyone together. Everyone can play. Everyone can get involved. And like I said, you're going to be out there playing anyway. You might as well log your round, and then you got a chance to win some great prizes. Mike, who do we got this year?
We have prizes from True Links, where they're going to be donating some pair of shoes and some gift cards. Our friends Andy and Piers at Me and My Golf are going to be donating some coaching plans. I guess you can kind of get a membership. You know, it was a great value. If you haven't seen it, I mean, awesome stuff there. What else we got, Frank? We're getting stuff from Slide Belts, which are really cool belts. Really cool looking apparel, man. You got to check them out.
Yeah.
And who else?
It all up, I think, Mike, we got over $1,000 in prizes, which is so great from all of our generous sponsors. We got Amp Caddy, we've got Asher, right. We've got Swannies, we've got Titleist, of course. Sure. So huge prizes. And then way we're going to do it this year so that everybody has the fair chance. Last year, if there was one complaint about the Open, is that it got to be a little bit tough, especially with the handicaps of some of the scores, and people were contesting them because, you know, it can just be tough when you have something that's so spread out as this. So we're going to play for bragging rights. We're going to shout out some of the better scores here on the podcast. But no matter how you score, go out there, have fun doing it. If you log around, you're automatically entered to win. And it's going to be all door prizes. We're going to do a random drawing at the end of the tournament, and we're going to announce our winners. All the winners will be posted at golficity.com/open. So you'll see your name there and you can claim your prize. So this is really great. Like I said, it's very easy to play. You just go into the 18 Birdies app, go to play, click tournament, and enter tournament code 6719 to join up. So this is going to be a lot of fun.
Can we get to 5? I'm sorry, not to cut you off.
Yeah.
Can we make it a point to get to 500 players this year?
I think
I'm shouting it out to everyone. If you're listening to this, stop what you're doing. Sign up for it. It's free. You're going to play golf anyway. I mean, that's the best part. Just log the round. And that's it.
That's it. That's it. And it is a lot of fun because you see the leaderboard, yeah. And in the app, there's a feed there that's dedicated just to our tournament. So we can chat about it in there. I'm sure everybody's going to be talking about it in the Facebook group, which if you're not a part of yet, make sure you go to Facebook to search the Golf Podcast, jump in our group because we're going to be chatting about it there. But yeah, really, like I said, fun, easy, and free thing to do. Additionally, speaking of 18 Birdies, we have some good news. We've we decided to collaborate with them a little bit deeper. You're going to be able to see some of our Golficity content right in the 18 Birdies app. We have our own channel on there. If you click on your feed and then click explore, you'll see the Golficity name. You can follow our channel and you can see some of our content there. Also, what we're doing is we've got an exclusive with 18 Birdies, an exclusive coupon. You can use coupon code Golficity2018 and you're going to get 90 full days of 18 Birdies premium. Now I want to tell you, you don't need the premium to play in our tournament. You can play with the free 18 Birdies account, all that. But if you want to dive a little bit deeper, I think there's things like there's the GPS, advanced GPS plus, there's advanced statistics. There's some more things in the app you can unlock. You can get them free for 90 days with that coupon code Golficity2018. And 90 days, man, that'll last you the whole summer.
Last you the rest of the summer. It's worth it. It's a really cool app and there's a lot of cool features. Check it out.
It's really great stuff, but I'm really excited about the Open. You're going to hear us talking about it a lot here on the podcast. So make sure you get in there, get involved. It's going to be a great time.
Yeah, Fred, I just wanted to mention back on the collaboration with 18 Birdies. It's cool. We got a lot of our content in there, but most importantly, it's the equipment stuff's really standing out there. I mean, two of our guys, Chris McEwen and Eric Benzenberg, who you've probably seen if you're a fan of Golficity, if you read the content, if you're in the app and you're seeing these articles come out every single day, these guys have been doing an awesome job. All of our writers have, but you know, Chris and Eric, I wanted to shout them out because they've been getting this equipment and they've just been reviewing and reviewing, and I love the stuff they're bringing out. And their stuff is going right there in the 18 Birdies app as well, you know. So, you know, those guys are doing an awesome job. In fact, Eric, we invited him to play in our virtual open round next Friday. Yep. We're playing the beautiful Ballyowen Golf Course. They are inviting us to play there to host our tournament round. We think that's really cool of them. And, of course, we need a fourth, so we're bringing podcast group and longtime friend Sal, who was in the West Point vlog. So it'll be a fun foursome next week, Frank.
It'll be a lot of fun. And, of course, Chris would have been invited as well. Unfortunately, he's not local. He's out in Chicago, but we've got something we're trying to put together at the end of the year, a little bit of a Golficity Writers Cup that we're going to try to put together. So we'll get Chris involved with that as well. And yes, I'm glad you said that because huge shout out to both those guys. They did excellent work helping us, you know, round up some of these prizes from the different sponsors.
Right.
You know, it's hugely, you know, because of them that we got to get such great prizes this year. So big thanks to them. But if you're not, like I said, if you're not in our Facebook group, we're going to be talking about it there as well. Make sure you get in there. Other things I want to talk about before we get into today's topic, you and I both have the new Titleist sticks in. How you been enjoying them? I know you got out there a little bit. You just got back from vacation. You got to play a little bit.
Yeah, so I went away. I got the clubs the day before I left for a week-long vacation out of the country. So I came back just like, you know, by the third or fourth day of vacation, I just kept dreaming about the clubs.
Yeah.
Can't wait to get out there. Can't wait to get back. Can't wait to play with them. So, of course, I come back. I have two rounds under my belt with them so far, and I feel like that Seinfeld episode when Kramer comes in with the clubs, he throws them on the ground. He's like, do you want these? Because I don't want them.
Yeah.
You know, I stick. You know, I'm not there with them yet. I'm not used to them. They're heavier. They feel different. They're different lengths. It's going to take time. Like I was telling you, you and I already had a conversation about this, but I think it's going to take time, maybe 5, 6, even 7 rounds to kind of get that feel back. The wedges, no problem at all. Those feel much better, you know, but some of those hybrids, Frank, they're heavier. That driver's a little heavier. Just getting that feel. And I'm not used to playing a 48 degree wedge. I was at 52 on that gap. Mm-hmm. So the yardages are completely different. I sailed that 48 degree over about 6 or 7 greens. And a couple of them are in water where I had penalties. So, I mean, the score didn't reflect having brand new, beautiful, fitted clubs. I'm just not there yet. But these clubs are, I think, they're awesome. They feel good on the range. They feel good when I strike them the right way. I just have to get there.
I think there's always going to be a little bit of a growing pains when you switch, you know, an entire bag over. But you know, I haven't had the same experience luckily so far. As I talked about last episode, my very first round with the new, clubs, I shot my best round of the year. They feel great. Like I said, if there's any type of, for me, growing pains, it would be just getting a little bit used to the different lofts and getting used to my yardages. But that's just a matter of getting out to the driving range and then just swinging the clubs and getting more accustomed to them. But I know a lot of you guys, especially on YouTube in the comments, have been asking, you know, and saying, you know, report back. Let us know, you know, if your game improves after going through the full fitting and all that type of stuff. 100%. We're going to keep you guys updated as we continue to play. I think it's preemptive right now for me to jump in and, you know, with only one round under my belt with the new clubs and give you guys some sort of like detailed breakdown. But what I can tell you, they feel great. They perform great. And I shot the best round of my season so far. So I think it's only going to go up from there.
Yeah, that's a good point. And you know what? You and I are actually playing together for the first time with the new club. So yeah, we'll be able to identify in each other's game. You know, you're going to be able to see, you're going to see it firsthand what I'm talking about. And I'm definitely going to see what you're talking about. So hopefully I can improve and hopefully you stay the same way.
I'm sure you, like I said, I'm sure you will. I think it's just sometimes it's just a little bit of a mental hurdle. Sometimes even just looking down at a different look, because these, I mean, the AP3s, they're gorgeous and they've got that little bit more of a blade type of look, even though they're not a blade, which, you know, it's amazing to me that they were able to give them that look, given that they're cast. But versus what you had been playing before, you know, it's a different look. So it takes a little bit for the time for the mind to adjust to it as well. But at the end of the day, fitted versus off the rack, you're going to benefit every time with fitted. They're meshed for your swing. So I think you're going to see some real improvements really quick. And my prediction is within one or two episodes, you're going to say all that's gone. I'm playing the best golf of my season, you know?
Yeah. Well, I got a round tomorrow and then one more the next day. So that's two more before we play next week. So hopefully by then I'll be in tune.
Get a couple of practice rounds in there.
For sure.
We got those bragging rights on the line in this Open.
You're right.
Mm-hmm. But like I said, guys, and with that Open, don't hesitate. If you're some of our listeners, I know there's some guys out there who are listening who are very new to the game. Even if you're shooting high, you know, in the hundreds or whatever it may be, we are taking handicaps into effect. So you're able to still, you know, bring that score down and be in the field a little bit, but also for the prizes, we want to make sure no one's excluded. So we're able to do that. So hop in and check it out. So, Mike, let's do a quick word from our sponsor. And then I want to jump into this because, like I said, this topic of feeling the weight of the club head has really been near and dear to me lately. It's something that I've been working on dramatically. And I've got a couple of the concept I want to review, but I've also got a couple of drills that I think have been really helping that I think I want to share here. So we'll jump into that in a second. This episode, as always, is sponsored by Titleist, the number one ball in golf. The Vokey SM7 wedges are considered Master Craftsman Bob Vokey's most advanced design ever. These wedges are born from tour validated technology that inspires me with complete confidence. Like you were saying a minute ago, Mike, how great the wedges feel. There's just so much confidence there. Vokey wedges offer advanced progressive center of gravity and spin milled grooves to produce this precision trajectory, distance, and spin control. Speaking of which, Mike, I don't know if you saw the other day on Instagram, I was thumbing through, I saw Jimmy Walker posted a picture of his new SM7, his set of wedges. And he calls them nothing like a fresh set, I think he said. But he's got his 48, his 54, and his 60 degree. And he's got this like sick matte black finish with the JW stamped on him.
Yeah,
he's right. Sweet. There's nothing like that feel when you first get them in your hands.
Yeah, we experienced that. And you're right. You talked about aesthetics before with those AP3s. These are sleek. I mean, they really are. And regardless of your handicap, the Vokey design SM7 wedges, they're designed to deliver shot-making versatility, and it's fit for all golfers. Bob's got – this is great. Best part. Six tour-proven grinds allow any golfer to be fit for their swing type and course conditions that result in the ultimate shot versatility. So check it out. There's the F grind. This is for all-purpose grind for full wedge shots. Then there's the M grind, Frank, and this is the multi-purpose grind for versatility. Then they brought the S grind for players with a square club face position. Get that, right? Mm-hmm. Whereas the D grind is ideal for players with a steeper angle of attack, like me, who play a variety of club face positions. Then you have the K grind, which is that ultimate bunker club, and then the L grind, which offers the lowest bounce for skilled shot makers.
And as simple as that sounds, like, you know, it may seem like a little bit to absorb, but don't worry about that. You know, they've got the wedge selector tool at Vokey.com that helps you determine which grind is best for your game. You answer a couple simple questions and it spits out the answers for you. And there's nothing like that feeling of knowing you can execute every type of shot you want when you need it most. So the new Vokey design SM7 wedges, know your letter, hit your number.
All right, Frank. So Peter Millar is setting the standard in menswear with their fit, comfort, and quality in their style. I mean, Peter Millar is a premium American lifestyle brand featuring a wide variety of casual sportswear, tailored menswear, and even luxury performance golf apparel. I mean, I love their five-pocket pants. They're super lightweight. They're very breathable. They're made from the highest quality Pima cotton. And, you know, they're comfortable. I mean, what else can I say? I love comfortable pants. They fit you like your favorite jeans, and these things, hey, they could be worn on any occasion.
Yeah, the quality of Peter Millar clothing stands out the second you feel that material. The five pocket pants, which by the way, I'm wearing right now, they're the most comfortable pair of pants I've ever worn, which is true about pretty much anything that I put on from Peter Millar. And right now you can head over to petermillar.com/golf and you can check out some of my Peter Millar favorites right there in the collection. But be sure to use that link. You'll also receive a complimentary shipping and a free hat. So that's Peter Millar, MILLAR.com/golf, petermillar.com/golf. All right. So let's dive into this a little bit, feeling the weight of the club head. And this is an interesting thing that we have touched on it like here and there, but I think the thing that just like, boom, opened my eyes to it was when we went through the fitting. And when we were working, you know, with Kevin Sprecher, and he's got me first just hitting a shaft that was just way too light for me. The club felt super fast in my hands, as you can imagine, because it was so light. It feels like, you know, in the old days we played baseball and you'd swing like a couple bats and then you'd drop one, you know, you'd drop them and just swing one. And it felt like you had nothing in your hand. It was a similar type of thing. So I could like whip it, you know, really fast, but I felt like I had no control. And he said, and you know, the dispersion that we saw from the Trackman showed that. So he goes, listen, here's the problem. You can't feel the club head. You don't know where it's at. Now, granted, really, really great, like PGA Tour caliber golfers can pretty much adjust to anything you can put in their hand. But that's where we talk about for guys like us, mid-level handicappers, we can get the most out of a fitting because we're not necessarily that adept that we can just adjust to anything. It's better to have the club adjust to us a little bit. So equipment does play a factor, but there's other things that play a factor as well. And one thing that I'll link to this in the show notes, and you can get to those by going to golfficity.com/episode227, or as always in the free Golficity app for Android and iOS, you're going to see the notes there as well. I'll link to, these, you know, a couple of videos and things like that. They'll help you guys walk you through some of these drills that we're going to talk about here. But with regards to to that and feeling the club head, we had a great article actually a couple of years ago. Mike, you remember, I think you even took a lesson from Eric. Remember Eric Cutts?
Yeah, PGA Superstore. He's no longer there, unfortunately. I know he moved down south, but I remember Eric. I actually had a playing lesson with him.
Yeah, he was a great coach. I had a lesson with him after you did because you had highly recommended him. But he was the head golf professional at the PGA Tour Superstore in Paramus, New Jersey. He did a great article for us way back in 2013, wow, talking about feeling the weight of the club head. And when you can't feel that club head, that's when you start to lose control. And I think this is a big thing of the frustration that comes from the game for a lot of amateur golfers, where they say, the biggest frustration I have with this, my game, is consistency. And I just don't understand why some days I can hit it and some days I just can't hit it at all. Yep. And another similar experience, I just kind of saw this just every once in a while. I like to just kind of like flip my way through YouTube and just find some different instruction stuff that I have maybe hadn't seen before. And I came across one video that I thought was really great. This was from Jim Summerwine. And I'll link to this as well, because he had a great story and he had a very similar situation. Now he's competing at a much higher level. I don't know what level he was competing at in this story that he had told. Maybe it was some sort of a, you know, US amateur or something like that, or maybe at the professional level. But anyway, he plays two rounds and he's hitting the ball really well. His third round, he goes out there and is a disaster. He's all over the place. And as he tells the story, he's really kind of like hanging his head. He's a little demotivated by it. And if I'm remembering this correctly, because I watched this, this video like one night in bed, like right before I fell asleep, and it just sparked my interest. So I made a quick note of it to talk about it here. But anyway, He said he was heading into his fourth round or something to that effect. And he was just kind of like hanging his head. He's walking through the parking lot and he ran into Jack Nicklaus. And Jack was like, you know, how are you hitting him out there? And he's like, honestly, not good. And Jack, right in the parking lot, Jack's like, well, you know, show me how you're like, you're holding the club and stuff. And he's like, Jack, it's not really a time for a parking lot lesson here. I'm on my way to the tee box, whatever. And he goes, just do this one thing for me. He goes, hold the club, take your grip, hold the club, and then turn the club up in the air. So the club head is above your head. Right. And he says, just start doing some circles in the air, draw some circles in the air with the club head. And he's like, can you feel that club head? And Jim's like, no, I can't. Right. And he's like, okay, loosen your grip up and just keep loosening it until you start to feel it. And he's like, okay. And then he starts to loosen his grip and he starts to feel it. And then he goes, all right, now that you can feel it, go out there and play. Anyway, long story short, he goes out there, has an amazing round. Right. And it was that little bit of difference. And here's the thing. One common thread throughout this, equipment aside, let's set equipment aside. And we talked about my fitting and we talked about how, you know, the weight of the shaft and that type of thing. Let's set that aside for a second. The tighter your grip becomes, the harder it becomes for you to feel that club head. And this is one of those things that's sometimes harder to describe than it is to actually feel and see. So next time you have a club in your hand, just try this, right? And try that little drill where you hold it up in the air and you kind of just draw circles like this. And just feel if you can feel it. And you'll notice the tighter your grip becomes, the less you can kind of feel it. I see Mike there grabbing a club to check it out right now. There you go. So the less you'll be able to feel it. And as you start to lose that feel of the club head, you start to lose that the position and the understanding of where that club head is at impact. You feel it, Mike?
Yeah, I feel it. This is actually pretty interesting.
Right? Isn't that kind of wild? So, and here's the thing. As you take your swing, and a lot of people, and I see where this gets the worst and gets the most amplified is with driver. Right? Because people think I want to rip it. Or you get a lot of people who are most nervous with driver. And that what that ends up leading to is people who are saying I'm least consistent with the driver. I'm one of those people. Right?
Right.
And a part of that is because we tend to over grip that driver. Now, other times we say, hey, I can hit my wedges, no problem. I can hit my wedges in my sleep, right? But it's because we tend to have a nice, loose, relaxed grip. The funny thing is, and this is a topic for a whole nother day, but in order to hit the ball further and generate more swing speed, it seems almost counterintuitive, but you actually have to grip the club lighter. You know, we've talked a little bit about that. The tighter you grip the club, it actually you start to lose swing speed. But, you know, intuitively in the back of our mind is this idea that we really need to grip it really tight. And then we kind of lose that feel. And if you think about it, as soon as you stop being able to feel that club head and the relation to it, to the ball and in your swing, obviously your ability to make consistent solid contact is going to go way down because you don't know, you know, and know again, like it's not like you're doing a lot of thinking during your swing, but I should say more so your body doesn't really know where that club head is. And that's where you end up with these issues. Another thing that this is very closely related to is balance. We've talked so much on the podcast about balance and how key balance is. And very often when you are off balance, it can be very quickly determined. And you can see that when you're also not having that feel of the club face. So going back to what Eric had said, a great drill that he kind of introduced us to for feeling the weight of the club head is it's actually quite simple. What he says to do is move your feet very close together, like almost touching, maybe 2-3 inches apart, and start just taking some half swings and then work your way up to full swings. You don't have to hit a ball yet, but work your way up to full swing. And what he says is, don't be afraid to really dial it up. You know, get up to trying to swing full speed. Now, obviously, it's a little bit harder when your feet are together because reason we widen our stance is for more balance. That's why our widest stance is our driver stance. We need more balance for that. So here's what it's going to do. If your feet are in close together and you're swinging full speed, it is very quickly going to reveal or uncover any imbalances you may have. So if you start doing that and you notice you're falling backwards, then for a righty, there's too much balance going towards your right foot. Or if you're falling forwards, it for a righty, you'll be going towards your left foot. The idea would be being able to stay very balanced right in the center. Now, a big part of that is also going to be grip pressure. Again, if you're gripping it way too tight, you're going to notice that it's harder and harder to stay that balanced and also create that nice whoosh that you want. So one common thread that I saw across the research I did on this when I started to dive into different YouTube videos and some different instructors talking about it is that they all kind of went on the scale of 1 to 10 for your grip tightness, 10 being the absolute tightest, like you're choking this thing, you know, and one, the club is literally falling out of your hands, right? And they all said you want to be somewhere between a 3 and a 4 in grip pressure. And I think that's one thing that would surprise most amateurs is how lightly we've had actually instructors on this show talk about this, is how surprised you'd be at how lightly PGA Tour pros grip the club. And we, as we get more frustrated, as we get more nervous, as we get more anxious, we tend to grip it tighter and tighter. And then we wonder why is my game getting worse and worse as I get more frustrated? Right. Well, that's a big part of it. So we talked about before, we talked about pre-shot routines, and we talked about something that both you and I have kind of put into our own pre-shot routines is like a little bit of like taking a deep breath and just kind of slowing things down. And I like to use that moment to inventory my muscles and how I am interacting with the club. And I'll notice then if I'm gripping it too tight. But getting out there, trying that's one really important drill that you can try. Another one, and I'm going to link to all these videos. Another video, I hope I'm pronouncing this right. I just found this channel. It's Jammo Golf Fun. I don't know. kind of an interesting little character in this particular instructional video. I didn't know whether to laugh or what, but I get what he's trying to get at. But anyway, he shows this is another way you can kind of determine if your grip is too tight. And he says, hold the club out parallel to the ground and start with a 10 grip. As tight as you can, you know, really, really tight grip, holding that parallel to the ground, and then slowly loosen your fingers. No, 5, 6, you know, I'm sorry, 7, 6, 5, going down, and you'll start to notice that club head start to droop down a little bit. And he just wants you to use that to notice how you start to feel the club head. Because if you're death gripping that, you just feel that entire club shaft, you know, grip, everything is just this one solid unit. Right. Mm-hmm. But as you start to loosen up, it's that pivot point, because obviously most of the weight of the club is out in the head. Right. And you start to feel that weight down at the end, and you start to feel how that kind of droops down. So what he says is work your way down, you know, set, you know, 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5. And where you want to be is somewhere around a 3. And that's once crazy. You get to that moment, and this is very, very similar to what Jack Nicklaus drill was, where he said, hold that club, you know, club head up in the air and just start swiveling it and doing the same thing and loosening it. The idea being you want to move your way through your grip pressure, becoming more and more relaxed until you reach that moment when you start to really feel the club head. And then at that point, you know, just don't go so far that you can't hold on to the club, but go as loose as you can, but still maintaining control.
Yeah, I like it. I mean, if I had to rate my game right now with grip pressure, I'd put driver with a 12. I'd put irons. No, I mean, I'm being serious. Irons probably 8 or 9, and I'd have my wedges around a 6. I grip the club a little tight, and I go back and I watch these vlogs that you and I do, and I look at my swing. I like to watch my swing, and I notice things. Like just tonight, I went back. I watched that old vlog of us doing our virtual open round from last year.
Yep.
And I just was watching my swing, and I was like, wow, you're way off balance. There's nothing about my swing that was in balance that day. And you could tell as we're telling the story of the day, we both played very terrible rounds. We said it.
Yeah.
But my balance was way off, and I could just tell that I'm gripping that club so heavy, the driver, you know, so hard. So, you know, I mean, I'm playing tomorrow. I hope I could try to put this into play tomorrow. So maybe I could try to get it out there on the range. It's going to feel weird.
Try it. But you know what? I think this is a good thing that it's so easy to check in with that, like, it's just something I want people to put in their mind. Like, if all of a sudden you realize, like, you're getting frustrated because, like, why am I, like, all over the place today? just check in with your grip pressure and just do one of these. You can do it on the tee box. You can do it anywhere. Just like slowly swiveling the club in the air or holding it straight out and just slowly loosening your grip until you start to feel it. And then go and hit your ball when you can feel it. I mean, this is a big part of the reason why it's so important to waggle the club. You know, it's kind of funny. Like we make fun of like guys like Duffner, right? With that like really long. But the truth is everybody on tour does it. You know, they waggle the club. And it's something that my old high school golf coach used to drive home, you know, drive it home on us. Like he would make sure part of our pre-shot routine is that we were waggling. And part of what you're doing with that is you're loosening everything up. Right? Loosen up the wrist, loosen up the hands. And it's a good time to kind of check in. Can you feel that club head?
Yeah. I love that. I love that idea. Just instituting a little waggle.
Yeah.
It's great.
Just
I'm going
to
try that.
But, sure. but do it because in like that mindset of thinking like use that waggle to just be like, all right, loosen up anything that's tense in those hands or wrists that's causing you to grip that club too tight. And then notice, can I feel that club head? And I don't, this is why I love pre-shot routines, because as we get more frustrated, obviously we get more out of our head and we just kind of like forget things. But if you just put it in there, like, okay, part of my pre-shot routine is going to be somewhere in there. I'm going to check in with that club head and make sure I can feel it. And then if you just start doing it, it just becomes like routine, like, I mean, pre-shot routine, right?
That's what exactly. It is. There you go.
So you do that. Another thing on top of that is let's just jump back to equipment. Don't forget to check in with your equipment too. If you're noticing you're having a problem with this very consistently, even beyond above and beyond grip, this is a great reason why it's a good idea, like we've talked about so many times, to get fitted, especially with a really good fitter. And a good fitter like what we had with Kevin, you know, he's a top 100 in the country club fitter. I mean, he recognized that with me right away. I didn't even see that. And that's where like there could be that the equipment that you're using, there could be minor tweaks. Now, I think no matter what club you swing, you can find a way to feel that club head. It just becomes a little bit harder for some people at different weights. Like for me, it was a little bit harder. I needed to add a little bit more weight for my particular swing to feel it. And then all of a sudden it made a huge difference, as you saw in that video when we did the fitting, like my dispersion came in so tight all of a sudden as we went up and moved up in the weighted shaft a little bit. But it's important to know. It's something that, like I said, I'm going to be really working on. I'm going to be focusing on this. I'm going to use these three drills as much as possible. You know, the two are very easy to do, just waggling the club. And then working in Eric's, I think it does uncover a lot of things, that feet together swinging drill. You really can start to realize where is my balance off, if it is.
You know? Yeah. And you know what? You brought up Kevin Sprecher. I'm excited because you and I are planning to play a full round with him. And can you just imagine the tips and what we're going to get during those 18 holes?
Yeah. I mean, enough to talk about for about 10 more episodes.
Exactly. And I have a feeling it's going to be a big help, because even the stuff he was teaching us during the fitting, you know, was helpful, you know, even
and he
on
was
the,
trying
on the
to shirt. Stay away. I mean, that's just his natural teacher coming out. He was trying to stay away from teaching. He was trying to be like, I'm just fitting you to where you're at. You know what I mean? Type of thing.
Right.
But that's, you know, that's something I've never had. I've never had a playing lesson. I've had plenty of lessons on the range and worked through things. I've never had a playing lesson. It's something I've always wanted to do.
Yeah, and I kind of misspoke in regards to Eric that we just quoted his article tonight. I didn't have like a paid playing lesson with him. He just happened to come out on the course with us that day. He said, "Hey, I'll meet you out on the course," because we used to shop at the PGA Superstore a lot and, you know, go there. And I used to get some lessons inside with him. So he just came out there and just played around. But it was cool. I got a lot out of it. We do get a lot out of playing with the pro. They see a lot.
I would imagine. And I mean, you're seeing all different types of shots. So I'm really excited to get out there and do that. And we'll have a lot to digest and we'll put some of that together. We're going to obviously be filming that, which is always, I love doing it because I love to be able to bring that experience to everyone, but it's always a little bit of a challenge. You know what I mean? Like, because you're trying to stay in that headspace where you're actually out there enjoying the round and really trying to learn something, but you're also trying to be cognizant of making sure, oh, did I get that on film? Because I want to show everybody that, you know?
Right. Yeah, no, you're right.
So that's always something to consider, but anyway, really great stuff here. And again, it really comes down to balance. And another thing that sparked this for me was, although I played really well my first round with the new clubs, I played really well. My last couple holes were kind of a disaster. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, I was really starting to hit too far behind the ball. And so I was ending up, you know, losing a lot of distance and things like that. And I think that part of that was a little bit late in the round. I was just kind of like losing my balance a bit. Maybe I was getting maybe my body was getting a little tired or lazy. It could be something, just a matter of just kind of like maybe over gripping it, losing that control of the club face, as we talked about. So I think there I'm going to institute a little bit of Eric's feet together drill, because if I did that now in hindsight, thinking about it, anyway, if I were to take a full swing that day with my feet together, I think I would have been falling back on the ball. I think too much of my weight was back, and that was causing me to bottom out early. But man, am I every day, you know, I learn more about this swing. I learn more about how key balance really is.
Yeah, you're right. It is.
You know, especially if you're one of those people that like, I'm just making, you know, I'm hitting the earth before the ball, so to speak. I'm hitting behind the ball. A lot of times it's just a little bit of a shift in balance. Your balance is just not quite even enough. And then what's going to happen? You're going to bottom out too early, you know? So
yeah.
Check in with your balance. We've said it before, check in. There's a lot of ways to do that. Well, I'm sure we'll talk about it even more on the podcast. We've done episodes about it before. You can get those all on the app. But this was a big one for me. And I want to hear from you guys too. Like if this is something, if you've got a drill, if you've seen something that's worked for you, I'm ready to dive, you know, head and shoulders right into this. I want to find out even more. So by all means, we learn from you guys too. Share them. If you're watching this episode on YouTube, post it in the comments below. Otherwise, throw it in the Facebook group, you know, let us know. And I've really loved that lately. A lot of guys be like, hey, I checked in with this episode. Here's my 2 cents. Love that. I'll take 2 cents all day long, you know?
Sure. Absolutely, man.
2 cents add up, right?
2 cents add up. One quick thing I want to add to your balance. One of those cool things I see a lot in the gym are those little like skateboards that with the one wheels that you could stand on and just take a couple of swings in the house with a wedge.
Yeah.
You know, just to keep your balance on it. It's something you're just watching TV. You stand on it with a golf club and just kind of lightly swing it back and forth, or even the impact snap or another training tool.
Yeah.
I think it's, you know, something balance for me this year, something I really need to work on. After watching those videos, I'm disgusted in my golf swing right now.
Yeah. Or so some people take like a Bosu ball, right?
A Bosu ball would work too.
Stand on that. Or some of these other things. I know one thing that a couple of people have noticed from the vlogs that I've got the orange whip in my bag. We actually had a whole episode. We did an orange whip and something like that. That's like a dramatically like much heavier than a club. Like I obviously use it a lot to loosen up my back, but that will, and part of why, what, good part of that training aid is that it does force you to feel the club head, so to speak. And it tries to train you in feeling the way a proper swing should be, because it's so much weight, you know, at the end of the, by the way, did you see Vijay Singh hitting balls with that thing? Come on.
Incredible.
That right there is proof that those guys at that level could literally hit anything.
Yes.
And play and outplay us.
A consistent swing path every single time.
I think I could give him like a cane and he would beat me.
Oh yeah, easily.
Yeah.
Easily.
It is amazing what they can do. But again, that's not the way to force yourself to feel that club head. So this is a concept, and again, I like these concepts and I like these ideas like this one, that it's something that very often people at the high levels of golf, scratch golfers, PGA Tour pros, you know, teaching professionals, they think a ton about. They think a lot about feeling the way the club head and balance and things like that. And then there's the other side of the spectrum, guys who are newer to the game, it's not even crossing their mind. You know, they're thinking about things like swing speed, but they're not like really thinking about this. And these are those fundamentals we always talk about diving into. So it's a big one for me.
Yeah, all good stuff, man.
All right. So yeah, like I said, I want to hear you guys take, make sure you do it there or tweet us at Golficity. There's got to be about 10, 15 different ways to reach us.
Yeah.
It's very accessible. So find a way, like I said, post them in the comments, whatever you want to do. I want to hear about it. And then make sure, going back to it, you guys get involved in the Open. I can't wait in a couple of days to start to see those scores rolling in. I have so much fun with that, especially sometimes when I'm not on the course, I'm trapped in the office. I'll just check in on the app, on the 18 Birdies app, and I'll see like people out there playing, posting scores, chatting in the feed about a great score that came in, whatever it may be. I love seeing that.
Yeah, it's great. I'm excited.
And we're going to try to make it an annual thing. So this is going to be the second annual. Let's like Mike said, let's get it to 500 participants this year. I think that's our goal.
Yeah, that would be great.
All right, great stuff. So like I said, you can get to all, I'm going to post the links to the videos and things like that that we talked about here by going to golficity.com/episode227 or The show notes will also be in the app. You can listen to it right there. Just go to golfficity.com/app. You'll have the links there to download the app for iOS and for Android. It's 100% free. Check it out. We'll see everybody again next week.